are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today. How many know that life has a lot of hills? Life has a lot of valleys. And I think he said it last week during his message, completely agree with it. There's so many times in our lives where we think we're going through seasons that are mountains and valleys, but it's really more like days where you're in the mountains, and then the next day you're right back in the valley. And so how do we wade through just these experiences of, you know, the ups and downs of life? Because the reality is we all have great things that are happening in our lives. At the same time, we all have valleys. And how do we manage that tension? Today we're talking about the valley of waiting. Waiting. What do you do when you find yourself hitting a spiritual wall? What do you do when there's everything within you wants to believe in the goodness of God, but with your eyes you see something so much different? What do you do when you're wrestling with doubts and you're not quite sure what you always thought was true is still true? What do you do when you want to believe that God is good, but life is not? That's what we're talking about today, and that's quite honestly just what I mentioned a couple minutes ago. A lot of what we've been talking about in this series, Ups and Downs. Today, if you want to open up your Bibles with us, we're in one of the most raw and honest books of the Bible, the book of Habakkuk. It's a short little book in the Bible, and I want to be really honest with you today. Today's sermon is not a sitcom sermon. The book of Habakkuk is not a sitcom book. How many like sitcoms, watching sitcoms on TV? How many know all problems are resolved? They find their true love. Everyone lives happily ever after in 30 minutes with commercial breaks. I can promise you this, you will not leave today's message maybe with your situation changed, but I hope you leave with a perspective that if God is for you, that he is with you, and there is nothing that can stand against you, no matter what valley you're in right now. And today we're looking at the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. If you don't know any context about this book, let me give you a little background. Habakkuk is a minor prophet. He lived and he wrote and he prophesied about 600 years before the birth of Christ. Most prophets would do this. They would speak to the people on behalf of what God was saying. Habakkuk's role was different. He actually spoke to God on behalf of the people. And so he came to the Lord and he said, God, as the people are expressing, I don't think this is fair. We don't think it's fair what's going on in life right now. We don't like what you're doing. God, why haven't you come through? You see, the people of Judah at this time, they were blessed and they were prosperous, but now they had fallen into corruption, they had fallen into sin, and now they had gone through seasons where they were suffering greatly. They were in the valley. And so Habakkuk, he cries out to the Lord. He says, God, when are you going to come through for us? And God speaks to him. He says, okay, I'm about to do something, and you're not going to believe it. I am going to amaze you. If I told you what was going to happen, you actually wouldn't believe what I was going to do. And Habakkuk, you got to think he's thinking, finally, God's going to come through. Finally, a breakthrough for our people. Finally, we'll get to be prosperous again. And here's what God says. God says, I'm going to raise up your enemies, the Babylonians, and they're going to issue judgment upon you. Not what you would expect to hear, right? You got to think Habakkuk is like saying, God, this doesn't make sense. This isn't the God that I want to believe in. And you got to think he's just wondering and saying, God, I've been waiting on your provision for so long. Maybe you're here today and you're in a season of waiting. Anybody in a season where you're waiting on God's provision in your life? I know I am. I'm waiting for a friend who has cancer. And how many know that's a difficult season when life hands you cancer, right? You're just there and you're praying for them, and I pray for them every single day. God, your word says that you'll heal. Your word says that you'll restore. But how many of you know the healing might not happen right away, and there's this season of waiting? I'm waiting on a friend of mine here at the church, faithful young adult, comes to young adults all the time, loves the Lord, faithful to serving others and the church, got plugged in right away, but he's come under some financial hardships, and I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm praying for him. God, your word says I've never seen the righteous forsaking and begging bread, but how many know that's easy to preach, that's tough to live when you're waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting. I'll be really, really transparent with you this morning. I'll be really honest. My family's in a season of waiting right now. Many of you don't know, my sister, she's 32 years old, and she grew up and lived the perfect Christian life, as you call it, and she dated one guy, and it was the guy that she married. She didn't sleep around, she didn't mess around, and for the last couple years, Her husband and her have three times done in vitro fertilization at the cost of $20,000 a pop, and she's lost the baby at miscarriage at 6 weeks every time. But what do you do in a situation like that? What do you do? I know her heart's broken. My heart's broken for her. We're waiting on the Lord, and we're saying, God, when are you going to come through? When are you going to break through? God, we know you're for us. We know you're with us. We're waiting on you because we have so much faith. And listen, the people who I just expressed to you, these people love Jesus, these people trust Jesus, and these people are believing for a miracle of God in their lives. But what do you do when you're in the season of waiting? I want to look at three specific things this morning that I believe that God tells us to do through the book of Habakkuk. If you're in a season where you're hurting, if you're in a season where you're waiting, if you're in a season where you're wondering where God is, the first thing that you need to do, if you're taking notes this morning, the first thing you need to do, jot this down, you need to listen to the Lord. You need to listen to the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things will be added unto you. James 4 says this, draw near to God and he will come near to you. We get along with the Lord and we hear his voice. How many know that's probably not the easiest thing to do when you're in a season of hurting, when you're in a season of wondering where God is, but the text says this, Habakkuk positions himself in the most ideal place to hear the verse of the Lord. Let's look at it together. Verse 1, it says this, it says, I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. He says this, I'm gonna be in the best possible place to see the hand of God and hear the voice of God. He says, I will look to see what he will see. I will look to see what God will say to me in that moment. I will listen to the voice of God. I will not listen just to the voice of man, but I will seek first the opinion and the approval and the voice of the Lord. You know, we come to the Lord and we say things like this. We say, God, you know, touch this person, heal them of cancer. I know that you can do it. Speak to me, speak to this person. God, bring healing to my friend. Bring healing to this situation. I'm waiting on your provision. I know that you can do it. And if you do it, God, I'll give you all the glory. If you do it, God, I'll give you all the honor. If you do it, we'll make a video testimony. We'll express your goodness here at the church. But God, if you don't, I don't know how I can defend you. And see, I think a lot of times we come to the Lord and tell God what we want and what our request should be instead of going before him and say, God, speak to me and I will listen. Speak, for your servant is listening. You want to tell God what to do instead of those times where you just get alone with God and you wait until his voice comes through. I want to tell you today, our God is a God who speaks. We serve a God who is alive and well and on the throne room. I know your situation may not look like that right now. You serve a God who is risen from the dead and can speak life into any hopeless situation if you get alone with him. You know, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through his word. I love the promise of scripture. It says his word will not return void. And so that's why I beg you. That's why I plead with you. That's why I love that you're here on Sunday morning. That's great. I love that you come in here, Pastor Paul, preach under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit every week. That is awesome. That's a great starting point. But you need to be in your Bibles every single day. You need to feed yourself. Why? That is the word of God, and that's the main way that God speaks to us. But get alone, hear his word. I beg you, man, I love the YouVersion Bible app. I get a plan, I listen to it, and I just kind of browse through the Bible that way. Why? I want to hide God's word in my heart so that I might not sin against him. I want to hear God's word. I want to hear his voice speaking to me so that when moments of doubts come, I can say, no, Lord, I recall on what your word says. When's the last time that you got alone with God and just heard him speak to you through his word? Listen, I know there's lots of great content on YouTube right now. I know there's far better communicators than me out there. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to listen to a sermon, but get in God's word first. In his word first. God can speak through a message. God can speak through a worship song. God can speak through the worship team leading us this morning. God can speak through your small group. There's so many different avenues that God can speak. I found the main way that the Lord has spoken to me is through his word. So hide his word in your heart. See, when you wait on God, it exposes our idols. It throws a wrench into our coping mechanisms. It brings us to the end of what we can control. It forces us to cry out to God. God doesn't waste our waiting. He uses it to conform it to the image of his son. When you get alone with him and you hear him speak to you, let me just warn you, let me be really honest with you. When you set yourself apart, when you set yourself aside for God to speak to you, sometimes he's going to tell you something. He's going to speak to you, all right? But sometimes it's not the thing that you want to hear, which is exactly what happened to Habakkuk. God, you're going to do something amazing. I'm with you. I set myself aside for you. You're finally going to do something awesome for us. We're set aside for you. I'm set aside as the prophet. The people are set aside for you. And God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to issue judgment upon you. You got to picture Habakkuk like scratching his head and being like, God, that's not exactly what I was thinking. How am I going to communicate this to the people? That's not what I was looking for. Another great example of this in the Bible is Paul in the New Testament. Right, there's probably no better example of a guy who deserved for God to do what he asked him to do, but God didn't do it. In fact, Paul in the Bible has this thing that's called the thorn in the side. And I'm kind of happy that the Bible doesn't express what his thorn was. Theologians argue it over it all the time. Some say it was addiction, others say it was blindness, others say it was depression. I'm kind of happy that the Bible doesn't express what Paul's thorn is, because how many of you know that whatever the glitch is that you have in your life, God can take that weakness and he can say, I can make that perfect in my power and use it for his glory. So I'm really happy that the Bible doesn't say what the thorn was in Paul's side, but what the text does say is constantly Paul pleaded before the Lord and said, God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. Take this away from me. You know what the Lord said? He said, no. He said, no, but here's what I'm going to give you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here's what he says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, he didn't say what Paul wanted to hear. If I'm Paul, I'm pushing back a little bit. Do you remember who I am, God? Like, I'm Paul. I'm your faithful apostle. I don't want your grace. I need your power. I want that same resurrection power that conquered the grave. Peter, you know, Peter needs your grace. You remember what Peter did? Peter denied you uno, dos, tres. Lord, give him your grace. Give me your power. Doubting Thomas, Mr. Doubting Thomas, Mr. I'm not going to believe unless I get to place my hands where the crucified one had nail marks put into him. Give him your grace. Give me your power. And the Lord said, no. He said, I hear what your request is, but I'm going to give you my grace, because while you don't know it, my grace is sufficient for you. And while you think that you want my power, my grace is actually better for you and what you actually need in this moment. If I'm Paul, I'm like, God, I was beaten for you. I was shipwrecked for you. I was snake bitten for you. Lord, you know how I hate snakes. I was stoned for you by rocks. I'm not talking about other things. Not even going there. Just don't try the brownies. That's all I have to say. All right. No, I'm going to give you my power. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to give you my grace. I'm going to give you my grace. Listen to what God is saying to you. Get alone with the Lord. You can best hear him when you set yourself aside for his purpose and his plan and say, God, I'm all ears as I seek you first above all our things. What is God speaking to you? Are you waiting on the Lord? Get alone with him. Listen to his voice. Number two is this. Number two, we write. Number two, we write it down. Number two, we write it down. We document it. We record what God is saying to us. And that's the very thing that God says to Habakkuk. Look at the next verse. It says this. The Lord replied to Habakkuk, and he said what? He said this. He said, write down the revelation, make it plain on the tablets. Document it, write it down. Why do we do this? Because we have a spiritual enemy whose mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. How many of you know you show up at service last week? Pastor Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, preached an awesome message on David. Take courage, take faith in the Lord, who he is, what he's doing in your heart. Rise up, your faith rise up. And God really speaks to you just in an amazing way. You just feel his peace come over you, you feel strength. I mean, you know, the word can come forth, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever, right? God speaks to you in just an awesome way. Last Sunday, you're like, God spoke to me. And you get in your car with your kids and they just start fighting right away. And then you get home and you and your husband have a huge fight. And then you go to work the next day and everything's chaotic. And you know what the enemy starts to do? He starts to just creep up in this little voice. Did God really speak to you yesterday? Are you sure that wasn't just an emotional high? Are you sure you weren't just worshiping because everybody else was lifting their hands? Are you sure you weren't faking it? Did God really speak to you? See, the enemy's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why it's really, really important for you. You got to write it down. If God speaks to you in a moment of private, write it down, document it. So when the enemy tries to come and tempt, you can say, no, 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 no. I will cling on what the Lord has says. I will cling on what is written in his word. And I will not remain waver that God did speak to me in this moment. I'm going to hold on to it. Document it. Write it down. Make it clear. Did God really speak to you in the moment? Yes, he did. Why? I have proof. I jotted it in my journal. Amen. Wrote it down. See, whenever Satan wants to give you doubt to walk away, you have to say, no, I pray that the spirit of Paul and Silas in prison would rise up within our church. You see, long before the shackles came free, they were praising God in advance of the miracle they saw. They were thanking him for his goodness. See, sometimes you have to write the vision down, and even when things get worse, you have to praise your way to victory, saying, Jesus, I knew that you spoke this to me. I'm clinging to that word, and Father, I will praise you even if my situation gets worse. Write it down. Document it. Hold on to the vision in your heart. And then thirdly, this is where I want to kind of spend the majority of time today, the remainder of our time. This is the most difficult thing. It's no fun. I'm sure it's where many of us are living right now. It's where I'm living right now, to be quite honest with you. You wait. You wait. You wait. Wondering is no fun. Waiting is much worse. You wait and you wait and you wait on the faithfulness of God. Some of you right now, you're waiting in your life. You're waiting on the Lord saying, will my child ever come back to the Lord? Others of you right now, you're waiting. You're saying, will I ever have the marriage? It's been 30 years. Will my marriage with my spouse ever work out? Others of you in here today, you're saying, will the migraines ever go away? Some of you are here saying, will my depression ever leave? And you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting for his provision. You're waiting for his touch, and you sit and wait on the Lord. Verse 3 of Habakkuk chapter 2. It's one of my favorite verses. Verse 3 of Habakkuk chapter 2. This is what scripture says. God says this. God says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. Somebody say appointed time. The revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come and will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. Psalm 27, 14 says this, when I wait on the Lord, you strengthen my heart. The Living Bible translates that same passage of scripture that we just read from Habakkuk this way. This is what it says. It says, God said this, but the things I plan won't happen right away. Then God says, slowly, steadily, surely, as time approaches, when the vision will be fulfilled, if it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. At the appointed time, there's that word again, at the appointed time, God will deliver. At the appointed time, he will respond. At the appointed time, he will do his perfect will. At the appointed time. In fact, I love that word, appointed time. In Hebrew, it's translated down into one word, and it's the word moed. And what it means is this, literally perfect, unstoppable timing of God. When it's the moed of God, when it's God's perfect timing, how many know there's no stopping it? Some of you ladies who are here today, you've had a child, and you know when it's time to have that baby, there's no stopping it, right? It's the moed. It is that appointed time. And listen, I know that we live in a society today that says rush everything, right? I know that we live in a microwave society and we serve a crockpot God, right? His timing is not our timing. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And I know that we live in this society that says, don't like your job? Just leave it. Start your own. Make it big on Instagram. Build your business through that. Gain $1 million that way. Live the American dream. Have the house. Have the car, save all for yourself and do what you want. But I just think sometimes we must remember that, are we following the ways of God or are we following the world systems? See, I know follow your dream isn't a popular slogan. There's nothing wrong with following your dreams. I know that following your dream is a cultural norm. But as a follower of Jesus, I don't have to follow my own dreams. If God gave me a dream, I follow Jesus and that dream follows me. See, it means this. I don't have to gauge my life. Is God with me? I know that he is with me. I know that he is for me. I know that he is in me. And even if life doesn't match right now, and even if situations look worse than when God gave me the promise, and even if I don't understand completely, listen, you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Extraordinary acts of God start with ordinary acts of obedience. I just have to understand the purpose of the season, and as I do, the dream follows me. Follow Jesus and realize that the promise has already been fulfilled through Christ. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to claw to make it happen. You don't have to fight on your own. At the appointed time, it will happen. At his appointed time, it will happen. And let me just remind somebody of this today. Your responsibility when you're in the waiting season is not to sit back and do nothing, but to serve your church and to fall so much more in love with Jesus and serving your neighbors and helping champion other people's dreams that are being realized. Don't grow bitter in those moments. Listen, resentment is like drinking your own poison and expecting somebody else to be killed. The only person that it damages is you. And so you need to watch yourself. Watch your alone time. Watch your margin. Watch getting on social media at quiet moments in your life. Watch the conversations you entertain yourself where you hear about everybody else's dreams getting realized, but you, your own aren't. You're in the waiting season. Fall so in love with Jesus. Fall so in love with serving his people. Fall so in love with championing others and helping others get to where they are. And then wait on the Lord, because at his time, at his moed, at his appointed time, you will see the promise realized. You must always remember this. If it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. I want to say that again. Someone needs to hear that today. If it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. See, though it linger, you must wait for it. His timing is perfect. You're maybe here saying, but it takes forever. And you don't know how long I've been waiting on the Lord. You don't know how many years ago God spoke this to me. You don't know how much my family has been hurting through this waiting season. Listen, I understand, but I just want to tell you this. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have to trust in God's promises and process, and his word will never return void to us. The grass withers, the flowers fade. The word of God stands forever. Remember this, God's delays are not always God's denials. Just because you haven't seen it does not mean that God will do it. If he promised you that, you need to get alone with the Lord, make sure that he really promised you that, wait on his timing, not go around and gab it to everybody else, but pray on it, share it with a couple people in your small group who love you and are for you and are with you, and pray on it and wait and fall so much more in love with Jesus. Seek the giver and not the gift. Listen, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that he would just be our vending machine and give us everything that we wanted. The cross of Christ was enough as is. That if you and I even never get another request in life to be answered for us, it's still enough of what Jesus did that you have life and eternity with him. Seek the giver and not the gift. Beneath Rendell Risner says this in her book, The Scars That Shaped Me, How God Meets Us in Suffering. This is the most precious answer God can give us, wait. It makes us cling to him rather than an outcome. God knows what I need, I do not. He sees the future, I cannot. His perspective is eternal, mine is not. He will give you what is best for me when it is best for me. Psalm 33:20 through 22 says this, my soul waits for the Lord. He is my help and shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Isaiah says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow faint. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2, close with this. Many theologians say this is the most important verse in all of Habakkuk. Most important verse in all of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Remember, he's besides himself. The Babylonians are bad. He's saying, when are they going to get their due? God, when are you going to get them? And God says, listen, I'm a just God. I'll take care of them. And he issues pretty much five woes of Babylon. He says, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I'm gonna get them, I'm gonna get them, and they're gonna get theirs. And he tells this to Habakkuk, and he says, see, I know the Babylonians are evil. See, I know that they are puffed up. But then he says these words, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous person will live by God's faithfulness. In the New Testament, scripture says this, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Our faith is not based on what we see. Our faith is based on the character and the nature and the goodness of who God is. The righteous shall live by faith. Even if I can't see it with my eyes, even if my circumstance doesn't change, Even if it gets worse at home, even if my sister is never able to have a child, though I will linger, I will wait on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Put yourselves in Habakkuk's shoe in this moment, right? He's disturbed, he's confused, he's angry, he's wondering, he's questioning, and then he says these words in verse 20, almost as if he's reminding himself, and somebody needs to speak this over their life physically in this moment right now, that God is still in charge, even though the outcome hasn't changed. He says this, everybody say it out loud, say, but the Lord. He says, but the Lord. But the Lord is our God, and he is in his holy temple. Even though I don't get it, even though I left today and my situation did not change after the sermon, even though it doesn't make any sense to me, even though it is getting worse, God is still God on the throne. God is still the King of Kings. God is still the Lord. And one day he's returning for his bride, and all wrongs will be made right in that moment. That's what we lay hope to. God, I don't understand right now, but I'm trusting in the process and I'm trusting in the promise right now. And I'll wait for as long as you do, because I know that you are Lord over my life, this church, my family. Reminds me of a story today as I close. Pastor of a large church, his daughter was on staff with him and had an autoimmune deficiency, really, really bad disorder. She got it while she was in ministry, serving on church at the staff, and she was just about to get married too. It seemed like her whole life was ahead of her, a young girl in her 20s. She was debilitated, bedside a lot, terrible, terrible illness. And the dad came up to her one day after a couple months and said, man, I'm so proud of you. You've endured so much. You've been through so much. And she stopped him right there. He was the pastor of the church and, you know, her boss, but also her dad. She said, Dad, your theology is off. See, you don't understand this situation. Since I've been given this autoimmune deficiency, I've been able to reach so many people in my small group by connecting with them through my weaknesses and pain. Though I've been bedridden so many days, I've gotten to write some blogs and post some things online. I've gotten to minister through YouTube videos to thousands of people, sharing my stories on how God can be glorified through our pain. And then she said this, she said, Dad, I'm not enduring any longer. I'm enduring because enduring is passive. But I've decided with my life right now, I'm embracing the season that God has given me to use his ministry to reach people. Can you say that about the season that you're in right now? Worst season of your life, greatest moment that you're waiting on, child that needs to come back to the Lord. I'm not gonna endure any longer through this season, but Father, by your grace, I'm gonna embrace the season that I'm in, and I'm gonna wait on you, and I'm gonna use it as a testimony to witness to people, and let it be the launching pad for your kingdom to be built and glorified through my life, to embrace the season that God has given us. In fact, that word Habakkuk, what does that word Habakkuk mean? It does not mean to wrestle and endure, but it means this, church, to wrestle and embrace. To wrestle and embrace. God, this isn't what I want. The promise hasn't been realized yet. The situation hasn't changed. The things are getting worse at work or in my family. And God, that doesn't mean that I won't doubt you. And God, that doesn't mean that I won't wrestle. And God, that doesn't mean there aren't days where I won't be angry. But Father, even through all of the seasons of wrestling, I'm gonna embrace that you've planted me right here. I'm gonna wait on your provision. I'm gonna wait on your goodness. I'm gonna wait until the promise is realized, even if it's not right now here on earth, but one day when I'm in eternity with you, I'll wait on you. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.